The scripture reading this morning will be coming from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Ezekiel 2, 3 through 5. And it reads, "And he said to me, Son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day, for they are impudent and stubborn children. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God, As for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them."
Certainly glad to see all of you here this morning. I'm very thankful that you have chosen to be here with us on this wonderful Lord's Day to worship God in spirit and in truth. As we are continuing our theme of making God's choice, we're going to be looking at making God's choice as his instrument. And particularly, we're going to be coming from the vantage point of a key instrument that God used to communicate to his people, which was the prophets. We know Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 1, where God would say, "In sundry times and in diverse manners, God spoke unto the fathers by the prophets." By the prophets. That was a key means that God communicated to the previous generations, was by the prophets. And we'll consider what a prophet is. A prophet is just a spokesman. He's just a foreteller. We often think of a prophet as one who predicts the future. But really, a prophet is one who speaks by divine revelation of things concerning the past, the present, or the future. He just says, "Thus saith the Lord." He brings God's message. And there are various prophets that we find in our Old Testament. We find major ones that we call them, such as Isaiah and Jeremiah, prophets who would preach, but they would also write. We also mentioned in class there are some who just preach, like Elijah and Elisha, or even the prophet Enoch. We just see him preaching in the Old Testament. And again, I want to emphasize that prophet is just the idea of a spokesman. We see in Exodus chapter 7 and verse number 1 where God would tell Moses that he would make him a god unto Pharaoh. And he was going to make Aaron his prophet, his spokesman. A prophet is one who speaks on behalf of God Almighty. And a good prophet is one who spoke the bidding of the Lord. We see that prophets were men who spake as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. In 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 20 through 21. A good prophet was one who would do what God told Jonah to do in Jonah chapter 3 and verse number 2, that he was to preach the bidding that God bid him. A good prophet was one like Samuel who did not let one word of the Lord fall to the ground. Every word that the Lord gave, the prophet Samuel spoke. We see that in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 19. So we see this role of the prophet as a spokesman, a foreteller, one who speaks by divine revelation. Particularly, our scripture reading came from Ezekiel chapter 2 because I want us to look at the prophet Ezekiel and his call. If you'll be joining me in Ezekiel chapter 3, that's where we're going to look at this as we set up the time frame of the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel prophesied in a very dark and tumultuous time in Israelite history. He would prophesy in the time of the Babylonian captivity. His contemporaries would be Jeremiah and Daniel. Jeremiah was in the homeland, Ezekiel was with the captives, and Daniel was in the palace of Babylon. And Ezekiel, in this time, in this tumultuous time, and again, I want to emphasize this, that God's people have engaged in so much wickedness, God said, "I have to take you into captivity to purge you of this. I have to take out an entire generation because of their wickedness. From the prophet to the priest, from the least to the greatest, they were all given to covetousness, and they were dealing falsely with one another. They were completely given over to wickedness." And in this dark time of not only morally is it corrupt, but we see they're enduring this suffering because Babylon is coming, and they're not sparing even the children. Even the children are being killed in this time. War was not a very pretty sight, and this is what is happening amongst the time of Ezekiel. We note with this Babylonian captivity that there are three waves of it. There's one in 606, 1 and 597, 1 and 586. And Ezekiel is going to be taken in the middle of this captivity, in that second wave. And he is going to be called to prophesy during this time amongst the captives in the river Kibar. And as he's among these captives, he is going to see a wonderful vision of God. And in this vision of God in chapter 1, it can be best described as a heavenly throne chariot that he sees the God Almighty riding upon. And this vision, it emphasizes the supremacy of God's presence. He knows that the Lord God is Almighty. We see some certain similarities to the call of the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6 in this. And God is calling his spokesman for his role, for his purpose, for his serving. We see in Ezekiel chapter 2 that God is going to begin to give instruction to Ezekiel that these are some of your duties, these are your responsibilities as my prophet to these rebellious people, to my rebellious house. And at the end of chapter 2, God is going to command Ezekiel to eat a scroll that is full of lamentations, full of woe, and full of mourning. And this is where we're going to pick up in chapter 3. We're going to see the emphasis of him eating this scroll. And there's three things I want us to look at from chapter 3 of the book of Ezekiel. That God's spokesman, God's prophet, in order for him to be pleasing to God, he had to speak the truth, he had to sound the warning, and he had to suffer the consequences. Let's begin by looking at speaking the truth. Ezekiel chapter 3, let's begin reading in verses 1 through 4. God commanded Ezekiel that he had to speak the truth. He said, "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel." So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, "Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee." Then did I eat, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, "Son of man, go get thee into the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them." The whole emphasis of Ezekiel eating a roll that God provided is, you are not going to make up your own message. You are going to be speaking the message that I give you. That is your job, is to relay my words, to relay the truth. I.e., you are going to be my spokesman. You are going to give them my words. You are my instrument for this purpose. He emphasizes this again also in verses 10 through 11. I want us to notice this as well. He said, "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thine ears, and go get thee to them of the captivity unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear." He says, Ezekiel, your role is to take my words, receive them into your ears, into your heart, and you relay it to them. Say, "Thus saith the Lord." This is a message from God that he is relaying. And once again, from our scripture reading, it's for the purpose that they will know that a prophet has been among them. And I want to emphasize this again as well. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33. God is going to mention this several times to Ezekiel, that they are going to know, whether they listen or whether they don't, a prophet, a spokesman of God, has been in their midst. They will know that this is the case. And he describes the disposition of these people, the mindset that they would have, even though this prophet was going to be bringing the message of the Lord. In Ezekiel chapter 33, notice with me verse number 31 and following. He says, "And they came unto thee, and they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they do hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet has been among them." You're going to sound real pretty. Some people do it today. "Man, that sermon sounded so good." But they won't do them. but they will know that the word of God, that a prophet has been among them, regardless of this fact. They will know that this has been done. And again, God is emphasizing this point over and over in Ezekiel chapter 2 and chapter 3, that you were going to be speaking with my words, because there was a problem of false prophets in this day. We're reminded that Jeremiah is a contemporary of Ezekiel, and he said that the prophets were not sent, but they ran. They were not spoken to, yet they prophesied. They were saying, peace, peace, where there was no peace. They were causing the people to believe a lie. They were saying, Babylon's not coming. But Babylon came. Then when Babylon came, they said, well, the temple won't be destroyed. Then the temple was destroyed, giving people false hope. And what's sad is Jeremiah 5, verses 30 through 31, that woe, that a wonderful and horrible thing is done in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and the people love to have it so. The people love to have it in this case. But we learn from the Old Testament scriptures that the penalty for being a false prophet was death. Yet the people love to have this wickedness amongst them. And this was a major problem. So God is saying, you won't be like this, Ezekiel. You're going to be my spokesman. You are going to give them my message. That is how a prophet pleased the Lord. He spoke the message that God provided him with. He was not at liberty to say whatever he wanted to. Yet some did. Notice with me verses 5 and 9. Within Ezekiel's mission, he's not only told that you have to speak the truth, but he is also told that he's going to have to rely on the strength of the Lord. God describes again the disposition of the people that he has sent to. Beginning of verse number 5 of chapter 3. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of an hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not too many people of a strange speech and of an hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee. For they will not hearken unto me, for all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. What God is telling Ezekiel here is, I'm not sending you to a people with a language barrier. I'm sending you to a people with a heart barrier. Their heart is callous. They won't listen to me, so they're not going to listen to you, but you're still going to go. You're still going to speak my message. And God also, again, notice with me verses 8 and 9. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Ezekiel's just been told, you have a hard task set before you. You have to carry the burden of the Lord, the message of the Lord, to a people who are going to hate you, a rebellious house. But he says, I'm going to strengthen you, though. Though they have hard hearts, I'm going to make you harder than the adamant, which is translated as diamond in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, and verse number 1. He's saying, I'm going to make you stronger than the people, because, brethren, it would be unjust for God to send his prophet, to send his instrument, to send his spokesman to do a task that he did not equip him for. It would be unjust for God to do that. But also, it's a play on word here of Ezekiel's name, which means that God strengthens. That's what Ezekiel's name means. It means God strengthens. Say, I'm going to strengthen you. And this wonderful vision is going to come to an end in verses 12 through 15. And when Ezekiel is brought out of this vision, as he returns to the river Kibar, he's going to sit in astonishment for 7 days. Because no doubt what he heard was marvelous, and what he saw was great as well. So he's told he needs to speak the truth and rely on the Lord's strength. And we're going to make some application here for the Christian with our mission, because I'm recalled of what God, of what Jesus told his apostles to do in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. They were to take the gospel to every creature. They were to preach that message. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned when it comes to that message. So we see here that God provided his prophets, his spokesmen at that time with the message. It was the gospel. It was Christ crucified. They weren't having to make anything up at that time. In fact, they were preaching God's plan before the foundation of the world. He made that known unto them, and they were preaching that to us. In our congregations, You see, to the world we preach the gospel, we preach that saving message, and in our congregations, Paul told Titus to speak the things which become sound doctrine. And at the end of that chapter, he told him to do it with all authority. So to the world and to the brethren, we have one message, if you will. We have one source. It is from God. It is top down. We are God's spokesman in that sense. It is summed up entirely with 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, as the utterances or as the sayings of God. In matters of religion, in matters of salvation, we look for thus saith the Lord. You see, the prophets, they said, thus saith the Lord. We look for book, chapter, and verse today. Amen, Walls. We look for book, chapter, and verse when it comes to that, because we are being God's spokesman. We have to speak the truth. We have to speak the message that He gives us. But yet we also find that there are some who, they don't live according to that standard. 2 Peter chapter 1, or 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1 makes very clear that there were prophets, there were false prophets in the old days, so there are going to be false prophets among you. It's no new thing. It's no new thing for those who were not sent to go. It's no new thing for those who received no message to continue to speak. And so the application that I want to find here with this is, it is better to hush up than to speak up about something that you do not know. That is the safe option, brother. It's better to hush up than to speak up about things that we do not know. When we get to matters that I'm not sure about it, we ought to do some studying before we start speaking on them. We ought not to put ourselves in a position where we are speaking on behalf of God and we have no scripture to back it up. We have to be an acceptable instrument, an acceptable spokesman according to this standard. And those who do not consent to wholesome words, words that are free from error, are proud and they know nothing. That's what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. Those who don't do so are proud and they know nothing. Brethren, let us not fall into that case. Let us, as the body of Christ, seek the order, seek the commands from the head, as we see in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 through 23. We know Colossians 3:17, that whatever we do in word or deed, we do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. We look for the seal of approval of our Master, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we've got to let the message sink down into our heart so we can speak the truth to the world and to one another. Also on the Christian mission, we have to rely on the Lord's strength. I remind you of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11, where Paul would say there, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." And he encourages us to put on the whole armor of God there, to be equipped. Sometimes, I believe, we think we need to be strong in our might and in our own strength. But we need to be relying on the source because we're sent to a world that loves darkness. We're sent to a world of men who wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's not an easy thing to be God's spokesman. The prophets did not have an easy life, brethren. As God's spokesman, it's not going to be an easy thing, so you need to make sure that you're drawing on the proper source as you continue to do this. And we have a powerful message to lean upon. We know Romans 1, verse number 16, where Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek," to all those who believe. It's the power of God to save. It's a powerful message. Join me in Hebrews chapter 4. We know this passage as well, but I want us to lay eyes on it once again. Because, brethren, the weapon of choice is still the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. As we see in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 17. That's the Christian's weapon of choice, is the Word of God. And we know Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. It says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." God's message is sharp. It's powerful. It's living. And what I want us to realize is the most powerful people who ever walked the earth were God's spokesmen because they spoke the word of the Lord. They spoke that powerful message. We too can be a powerful people when we speak God's word. When we rely on the proper source, we rely on His strength and His might. Because we are sheep among wolves. We need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Going back to Ezekiel chapter 3, we looked at the Ezekiel's mission was to speak the truth, and the Christian mission is to speak the truth as well and rely on the strength of the Lord. But when we go back to Ezekiel chapter 3 in verse number 16, we see something very specific that God says to Ezekiel that He doesn't say to any other prophet. He's going to tell him here that he needs to sound the warning. Ezekiel's role is going to be that of a watchman. Ezekiel will be a watchman. Notice with me Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. He says, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel." Verse number 16. "And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying," so there's another vision, another message that God is bringing to him after he pondered for those 7 days. And he says, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me." We see this repetitive thing here. Hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. But this word, a watchman, he is made a lookout of the house of Israel. His job is to hear and to warn. And as a watchman, Ezekiel is going to be a proclaimer of calamity, but therefore a protector of the community. And what I mean by that is when we look about the role of a prophet, which God describes in Ezekiel chapter 37, if you want to put that in your notes, is a prophet, when he sees the enemy coming, he has to sound the warning. If he sees the enemy coming and he doesn't sound the warning, then he has failed at his job. But we see what the watchman is responsible for in this. If he sounds the warning and the people don't prepare for battle, the watchman's guiltless. The watchman only fails if he doesn't sound the warning. That's his only responsibility. And we're going to see this as God continues to describe the role of a watchman in verses 18 and following. We see in verses 18 and 19 that his job was to warn the wicked. He says, "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." So once again, he makes that point in the spiritual realm as well, that when you give them my message, it doesn't matter what they do with it, you just have to give them the message. If you don't speak, you failed. If you sound the warning, though, you've done your job. We see further in verses 20 through 21, his job is to warn the righteous. He says, "Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. His righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man, the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul." I'm going to say this again because sometimes we miss this point, that the only way the watchman fails is if he does not sound the warning. His job wasn't to convince them. God already said they're a rebellious house, they won't listen. But regardless of that, you have to speak so that they will know a prophet has been among them. You sound that warning. You ring that bell. No matter what they do with it, you sound the warning. We also see free will and individual responsibility in this as well, that we have choice in the matter. We have an individual responsibility to heed the warning that God gives us as well. And so as you make application to the Christian's role, I'm reminded of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 through 11. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for the things we have done in the body, whether they be good or bad. And verse number 11, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Brethren, because there is a judgment day coming, we are persuaders of men. Because there is a time coming where men are going to have to give an account for things that they have done, we ought to be sounding the warning that that day is coming to the world. You're going to give an account for what you've done. That's the message, that's the warning that we are giving. We're not only saying that, yes, Jesus Christ, you came to die for us, but that also implies that you are lost and you have to make things right. Otherwise, you're going to spend an eternity in a devil's cell. We have to sound that warning. We have to sound that message. We have to sound the warning that a day of vengeance is going to come where those who know not God and those who obey not the gospel will be punished with everlasting destruction, as we see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 and following. And again, the only way we fail is if we do not sound the warning. If people do not believe the gospel message, that's on them. But brethren, we have to sound the warning. That's what success looks like, is when the church gets the message out to the community, that the people know that the church of Christ is among them. We've done our job. We get the message out. We sound the warning. And it's so important that we do so. We see the responsibility laid on us in Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. That for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. They won't know unless we speak up. They won't know unless we sound the warning. We have to sound that message. But also to our brethren, we have a responsibility to sound a warning too, that we have to exhort one another daily, lest we be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. As we see in Hebrews chapter 3, and verse number 13. We have to be looking out for one another's soul to realize that one has been overcome with a transgression, been overcome with a burden, and we need to go and help them. As we see in Galatians chapter 6, and verse number 1, if we are spiritual. To sum this up entirely, this point here, what Paul would say in Acts chapter 20, verse 26 to 27, says, I am pure from the blood of all men because I have declared unto you the whole counsel of God. That's it. I.e., he did not let one word of the Lord fall to the ground. He gave them the entirety of the message, and therefore he is pure from the blood of all men. He ceased not to warn them night and day. And again, Paul understood what he was sent to do in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 17. I wasn't sent to baptize. I was sent to preach. Can't emphasize this enough. Well, how many baptisms? Have we got the message out? Have we got the message out? Have we got the saving message? Have we got God's truth out to the world? That's what success looks like. Paul preached to so many people, whether they believed, whether they disregarded him, he succeeded. At the Areopagus, some believed and some did not, but Paul succeeded because they knew that Jesus Christ was coming to judge the world in righteousness. He was successful in this. And that is how we can be successful as well. Finally, when we go back to Ezekiel chapter 3, in verses 22 to 27, God tells Ezekiel that he's just going to have to suffer the consequences of being his spokesman. Ezekiel is given a warning that he is going to suffer. Once again, the hand of the Lord comes upon him, and he is going to be taken to a plain to speak with the Lord. He's going to be told to go to a plain. He's going to rise up to go to that plain. And picking up in verse number 24 of Ezekiel chapter 3, we're going to see what God is going to first tell his prophet to do, his chosen prophet. Then the Spirit entered into me and set me upon my feet and spake with me and said to me, Go shut thyself within thine house. To us, it might seem a little counterproductive that God said, you're going to be speaking this message, and he says, okay, go sit in your house. Go shut yourself up. And it was done in such a way that the people were like, I don't think this guy's a prophet, and he goes and shuts himself in his house. A, because, I mean, silence does says a lot, and they're already a rebellious house, and God just says, go shut yourself in the house. We see certain similarities with even with Jesus when he was first anointed with the Holy Spirit, that he went in the wilderness for 40 days and fasted. The prophet set himself apart. But we see his warning of suffering in verse number 25. But he says, But thou, O son of man, behold, they shall put bands upon thee and shall bind thee with them, and thou shalt not go out among them. We note also Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse number 6 that God says, you're going to be dwelling amongst scorpions. You're going to this rebellious house. Don't be dismayed at their looks. Don't be dismayed at their faces or what they say. To put this simply, Ezekiel was prophesying to the same generation that Jeremiah did. Jeremiah was a tormented prophet. They did so much wickedness to that man, shutting him up in prison, leaving him in a pit to die. He's prophesying to the same generation. And what Stephen said in Acts 7:52 is, which of the prophets have your fathers not persecuted? Jesus said in Matthew 23, from the blood of Abel to, from the righteous Abel to Zacharias. He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest and stonest the prophets and those who are sent to you. The prophets were, often the true prophets were, a hated people. They were a despised people because they brought a message often of doom and gloom because of their rebelliousness, and people did not appreciate that. And today, people will not appreciate that as well. So Ezekiel is going to receive some sort of opposition. But also in verses 26 through 27, his warning is that he is not going to be able to speak whenever he wants to. He has to speak when the Lord tells him to speak. He says, And I will make thy tongue cleave to the roof of thy mouth, that thou shalt be dumb and shall not be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, He that heareth, let him hear, and he that forbeareth, let him forbear, for they are a rebellious house. Ezekiel was going to speak when the Lord told him to speak. And once again, it seems counterproductive that you're going to have this prophet who's supposed to speak your word, and he's going to be dumb, he's going to not be able to speak, but it's a rebellious house. They set their heart to do evil. It's the wandering in the wilderness all over again, where God just simply had to wait for a generation to pass away to rise up another righteous generation. But he still was going to have a prophet among them, and they were going to know that this was the case. And he was going to suffer the consequences of being God's chosen instrument. And us today, as Christians, we are giving a warning of suffering as well. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 12, that yea, all those who will, that is all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, shall suffer persecution. You can mark it down. When you're doing the work of the Lord, you will suffer persecution. You will suffer hardship. But we find encouragement in Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. I want us to look at this passage again. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. Furthermore, with this point, when we consider John chapter 15 and verse number 20, that the servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted Jesus Christ, we can be sure they will persecute us. If they hated our Lord and Master, they will hate us as well. But we note in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12, that Jesus declares a blessing. He says, Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. It's not a new thing, this persecution. But also we see the prophet's reward. The prophet's reward is not one that's temporal. The prophet's reward is one that is eternal, is one that is in heaven. We see some encouragement to endure and to continue on in our work as instruments of God, that we're laying up treasure in heaven. We're laying up a reward in the heavens. I'm also reminded of what Paul would say in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 17, that he bore the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ in his body. He describes the suffering that he endured in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and chapter 12. The shipwrecks, the beatings, the stoning that he endured, those physical marks that he bore. I'm so glad that we live in a country where we can preach the gospel freely. We don't have to endure that same thing. But it's still hard, it's still tough. We mentioned in Bible class that suffering is suffering. It's relative. So we got to strap up. We got to realize that we're going to join the prophet's club, or we're going to have to suffer, and we're going to have a reward that is waiting for us. Ezekiel, when you consider his tenure as a prophet, he prophesied in this time of suffering, of torment to a rebellious house. He prophesied of the return and the restoration of Judah, but he never saw it. But I guarantee you, he was comforted in Abraham's bosom. So us likewise, we ought to remember Revelation chapter 2 of verse number 10, that we ought to be faithful unto death and therefore receive the crown of life. And we ought to remember the context of that. John wasn't saying there, or Jesus wasn't saying there in Revelation chapter 2 verse number 10, that when you get old and fat and you die in your old age, that the context was you're going to be thrown in prison and you're going to be killed. But you are going to receive a reward for being faithful unto death. We as God's spokesman, as we bring this lesson to a close, find encouragement from the call of Ezekiel. We see that he was told to speak the truth, speak the message that God provided, and to speak this message with the strength that God provided as well. God provided the message and the strength to speak. He was also told to sound the warning. He was responsible for giving the warning. What they did with it, that was on them, but he had to sound the warning. And what the people did with the message, it was on them. He was also told he had to suffer the consequences. That suffering came with the role. And he was going to have to speak when the Lord told him to speak, and to be quiet when the Lord told him to be quiet. And so us likewise, we ought to remember these principles as we are God's instruments today. We are his spokesman. We speak as the oracles, as the utterances of God. So we find courage and strength in our master and his message. We ought to learn endurance in this, that this is a marathon, brethren. This is a race for life. It's not a sprint. It's a race for life. We ought to remember the reward that follows for running this race faithfully. Brother, let's be encouraged in this. Let's be fired up to sound the warning, to speak the truth, to endure those sufferings. As we offer the invitation at this time as well, for those of us who have not obeyed the gospel, we'd love to continue to study with you on that. If you're not sure what the gospel even is, or if you've obeyed it, if you're right with God, we'd love to answer those questions. We'd love to sit down with you and to study those things out, to show you what it means to call upon the name of the Lord so that you can be saved. But also for the Christian, once again, we've got work to do. We have things to be busy with. It's the work of the Father. It's his business. So if we have any need, please come as we stand and as we sing.